and there are seasons of valley. And this church has been in a season of rally from August really until last week. We've had some very pointed messages on what the church is. What does the scripture say about us as servants, as people that give, that use their gifts? We've talked about the future of the church. It's been a very much a rally time. But today, for the next month or so, we are entering a season of valley. It's time to stop huffing and puffing a bit and chill. And as we enter Christmas season, if you've been around here, you know that we do very little as a church throughout the month of December on purpose, because we really want you to focus on Jesus Christ and your family and resting. So we don't have 1,000 activities. There are lots of churches where you can find those sorts of services if you want, and they are wonderful, but we are not going to be doing that. So we're going to talk about rest today, and next week we'll start a series of messages on the birth of Jesus. But this morning I felt the Lord compelling me to share what I learned from my sabbatical. And this might seem a little selfish. It's not. I feel like there's some lessons in here that are going to be for us. So it might be a little weird and sort of a one-off, but I had the opportunity, after 25 years of pastoring, leading this church, I had the opportunity with my wife and daughter last summer to take 7 weeks off, paid, and the church enabled us to do that, and we detached for about 40 days and had a wonderful time. This is something that is called a sabbatical. It's when a professor or a pastor is given an extended time off. And I came back, and you guys were mostly all still here, and the building hadn't fallen down, and the Holy Spirit was still seeming to move in beautiful ways. And so I had a very, very much a pivotal experience, and it was very wonderful. And I learned some things, and I want to share them with you. Aren't we in a busy world, guys? Yeah. You know, the word business is derived from busyness. We're just so busy, and then we become busy in our busyness. And that is not what God has for you and I. He actually offers us something very different, and we're going to talk about that today. Let's pray, and as we do, I was sitting this morning about 4 a.m. I woke up and had some vegetable juice, and I was sitting there in the dark with my cat, and I was praying, and I felt, as I saw a very clear picture in my mind of this service, and I felt that the Lord... there was just a lot of us that were coming, and we were just laying things down before the Lord and saying, I don't want this anymore. I want you to have this. This is just too heavy for me. And so I believe that's what the Lord is inviting us to this morning. So I'm going to talk for 30 or 35 minutes. We're going to look at the scripture. And I want to encourage you. I really believe that the Lord's word for us this morning is rest. Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden. That's not what I have for you. What I have for you is rest. Learn from me. I'm humble and gentle in heart, and I'll show you a different way to live. So if you find yourself this morning just sort of stirred up and tense and anxious and scared and exhausted, I feel there's an invitation from the Holy Spirit this morning for us to have a moment where we just come to the Lord and say, I want to walk lighter, and you're giving me permission to. In fact, you're inviting me to. I would even say this, guys, he is commanding you to. The Sabbath is a command, and that's a good thing. So may the Holy Spirit stir as we talk and look at the scripture. And if you find yourself heavy this morning, I think you're going to walk out of here light in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. Just increase your work. Blow the wind upon us. Come and move in our hearts, Lord. As someone prayed earlier, we just say, we give you permission to shine in us and move in us and make of our lives that are pottery into something that is beautiful for your glory. Lord, we resist you, but this morning we just say we don't want to. And so we just open our lives and say, come. Come have your way, Lord. Blow where you would in our lives, and may we not be stiff-necked, but may we be soft-hearted. We ask, Lord, this morning, I ask for every person here the grace to have soft soil, to hear your word, and bear fruit. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd come through all throughout this room now. You would just move on every man and woman and all the kids too. Just move upon us. Just go deeper in our lives. We say, come. We want the kingdom of God among us. So be welcome. And teach us, Lord, as you promised in the Gospel of John, to teach us and guide us into truth. We are your students. Open our ears. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. The busy world will not stop being busy. I'm going to talk about busyness, we're going to talk about Sabbath, and then I'm going to give you guys a few practical things to hopefully walk away with. The busy world will not stop being busy. Have you ever heard that song, The Cat in the Cradle? The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. I've heard that like all my life, and I never knew what it meant. I was listening to it this week. It was on this place I was at, and I heard it, and it's the worst song, and it's awful. My boy was just like me. It's all about a kid who's the songwriter, and he's trying to get his father's attention, and his dad's just always so busy, and he can't do it. He's like, another time, son. And then the kid grows up, and now he is like a grown man. He's got a life, and his dad, who was the narrator from the beginning, the kid's like, you know, doing his thing, and the dad's like, hey, can you come spend time with me now? And the kid's like, I'm too busy. And it ends, the boy was just like me. And the whole song is about how a father was too busy for his son, and then the son grew up and became too busy for his father. It's so sad. And I heard that, and it was interesting because I was putting this message together, and so these things come along, and I just realized this is just so ingrained in our culture, in our world, isn't it? There's an anecdote of a man that immigrated to the United States. He soon came to believe the word busy meant good, because whenever he asked people, how are you doing? They said, busy. So he thought the word busy meant good. Nora Rosendahl, the chief operating officer of the performance coaching firm Hinsta, discovered the same thing when she conducted a small social experiment by documenting answers to the question, how are you? Over the course of 1 week, she counted 8 out of 10 people she asked, how are you, said, I'm busy. The Harvard Business Review says this in a study recently, 80% of Americans say they never have enough time. And guys, before I start saying all this, I understand, okay? I have gray hair. I've raised 4 children. I understand. Life's busy, right? Tell the person next to you, life is busy. Okay, let's just get it out there. You're going to be busy. You're going to be busy. And there are things that, you know, adulting is a lot of fun, isn't it? Adulting, like, there's reasons you're going to be busy. Your water line's going to break in your house. Your shower's not going to work. Your car's going to break down. Your things are going to happen. But what also happens is our addiction to accomplishment causes us to stay busy. Okay? There's like legit busy, but then there's like probably maybe self-imposed busy, and we're going to talk about that. There's a new term in our culture called time poverty that's been coined by sociologists. And here's the thing, this is really interesting to think about. Time is the one resource you cannot ever get back. You can get money back, you can get your health back, hopefully, you can get relationships back. Time is the one resource you cannot get back. It does not matter. You can't get it back. There's this interesting movie I saw years ago. I'm not recommending it. I don't remember much about it. It was called In Time. I have a picture. Didn't you guys see that movie? A really neat idea. It was in the future. I think it was like Justin Timberlake. And so every human had stamped on their arm how much time they had left. And you could get more time added if you were rich. Really scary, weird. And all the poor people were running out of time. So they're committing crimes and just living it up. Real interesting concept that just kind of makes you think about time. And, you know, if we're not busy with work or productive things, often we're busy just being a busybody doing this. So we live in a busy world that's not going to stop. The contrast in that busy world is that we are given something called Sabbath. It's an alternative to busy. I'm going to define it for you. Exodus 20, verse 8, the fourth commandment, the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the Sabbath day was, the Lord said, 6 days I made the world, and in seven I'm going to rest. I'm doing that, not that I need the rest, because I could just do this and everything's created. But he made a pattern. He made a liturgy for us. He made something for us to follow. And he says, I want you to follow this thing. In the same way I stopped on the seventh day and called it a Sabbath, I am now telling you to stop on the seventh day. The word Sabbath, it's a Hebrew word, Shabbat. Let's all say that together. Shabbat. And guess what Shabbat means? It means stop. So God says, day seven is your stop day. Let's not even call it Sabbath day anymore, because who knows what Sabbath means? Like, am I taking a bath, you know, dial? Like, no, it's not about bath. It's stopping. So the Sabbath day was a stop day. It was a time they stopped, and on that stop, okay, they reset their lives. They reoriented their lives in the midst of all the work and all the hard things and raising kids maybe. They stopped and they reset their lives. They paused their activity and they gave themselves to the things that were most important, which was the Lord and resting, their own families. They paused and stopped. In fact, not only did they pause, this is foreign, okay, but their animals stopped working too. In fact, even their land stopped. He said, stop producing, stop working your animals. Everything stops. By the way, that's why in much of the South still, certain things don't happen on Sundays. Certain restaurants might not be open or they have limited hours. 50 years ago, it was like a cultural Christian thing that you didn't do much on a Sunday. Maybe not 50, maybe 70 or 80. You know, but it was a thing, and now Sunday is just sort of like any other day. But this is something that's derived out of that idea. Considering Exodus 31, it says, it talks about the Sabbath, and the Lord says that when we Sabbath, we are refreshed. The Hebrew word there is breathe. So there's this idea of when we Sabbath, we are stopping to breathe. Do you ever just feel like you're just so busy, you just kind of need to catch your breath? Does anyone feel that way? And then in Matthew the 11, verse 28 through 30, as the passage I quoted earlier, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You're carrying this thing, sin. And he says, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble of heart. I have a different way for you, and I will give you rest. And we're not under the law of the Sabbath anymore, but it is still something that is very much for us. It's a lifestyle that we're going to talk about. So I just want to say, like, as we define Sabbath, and we're going to talk about some practical things now, this is it's something that, as a follower of Jesus, if you're a God-fearing person, the scripture says you are the least anxious person in the room at any time. At your job, did you go to the mall yet? You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk into that place and be the least anxious person in the mall. Just imagine that. You're called to be different. You're called to not get wrapped up in all the advertising and all the money grabs and all the things that would have you run to 8 different Christmas parties next month. And I'm not saying not to, but I would say before you do, consider, are you resting? Is your life a life of rest, or is it so busy? So we went away May 26th and had 7 weeks off-ish, and I had several moments that were particularly wonderful. One was on a mountaintop. I had a literal mountaintop experience. Another moment was we were in Gatlinburg, and we rented a cabin, and my wife wanted to go off and see all the trails, and Abby and I were like, we're on low battery here. So Jennifer went off the whole day and saw deers and bear and all those things, and humans too. And Abby and I sat in this cabin. You remember that? We sat in this cabin all day, and I just played guitar and ate. It was lovely, just looking at the mountains. It was so relaxing. To get there, though, see, how many of you guys go on vacation, and on day one, you're just like on the beach in full relaxation mode? Like, is that anyone? Maybe if you had some vodka? Like, without most of us, doesn't it take you a few days to kind of like get into the relaxation? And so for us, for Sabbath, like, it wasn't something where I just landed and all of a sudden I was there. I had to go through some things, and I'm going to share with you what those things were. So here's a few things I want to pass on that I learned, and I would say these are scriptural things for us. The first is that rest is not an option, it is a command. Rest is not an option, it is a command. In Exodus, I read this earlier, I'm going to read it to you again. In the midst of the Ten Commandments, the Lord gives the commandment to rest. It's in Exodus, it's chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the Sabbath, seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. You will not do any work, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or your female, or your cattle, or the sojourner that stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So what I did when I was given this wonderful opportunity to stop for 40 days is I decided the first thing I was going to do was study the Sabbath. And I did. I spent the first 4 days of my sabbatical in my Bible, and I studied every scripture I could find that talked about Sabbath. And I learned something. I did not believe in Sabbath. I would tell you I believed in it, but if you looked at my life, there was not a lot of intentional rest. Do you fill every moment you have with something else to do? Do you take your phone on the toilet? That's a sign that you have a problem. I'm just telling you, besides hygiene, you might have a problem. We fill every moment with something. You know, what if before we went to bed, we just thought for 15 minutes without letting this lull us to sleep? I'm going to say it again. You weren't designed to be full all the time. You and I were designed to be people of rest. And as much as I would tell you all these years, I believe in the Sabbath, you know, I believe in it, I'm a preacher, darn it, it's one of those Ten Commandments. I realized that I really wasn't living much of my life. And it's like, you're not walking it, so maybe you should stop talking it. And as I began looking at the scripture, it occurred to me that Sabbath was not, you know, rest, the lifestyle of rest, it's not a good idea. It's a command, guys. It's a command. And I don't mean that like, you better rest, you know. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Like, but it's something that it's not an optional thing for us to incorporate. Like, don't wait till you're 70 or 80 and like you are retired and don't you've done all the things to start resting, okay? You might die first, by the way. I know people that this has happened to. So Sabbath, rest is not an option. It's a command. And I'll just be very, very frank with you. As I went through the process of trying to say, I want to get the most out of these 40 days, so Lord, I invite you to just absolutely peer into my life and just whatever way you want to reconstruct things, do it so that I can get the most out of this. And boy, did he. Guys, I repented so much those first few weeks, just coming to a place and realizing I am so attached to my work. I am so addicted to accomplishment. I am so addicted to the satisfaction of getting things done that I won't stop. And here's the scariest one for me. I'm so addicted to control. I want control. And if I just keep doing all the things and have everything tidy and I'm in control, and it's as if, you know, the Lord was like, do you think you can add one more breath to your little life, son? And all this came to me as I began to understand that Sabbath is not an option. Another thing, guys, about it is, see, now there's just a lull in the room now. And this is what I just, Holy Spirit, work among us. I'm telling you all the things that I failed at. You know, the other thing about not resting is did you know that your rest or lack of rest affects everything in your life around you? That's why the Sabbath, he said, I just read it. He said, it's you, but it's also your spouse, and then it's your son and daughter. They don't work either. And then he said, it's also your animals. They don't work either. And then he said, it's also the sojourner that stays you. They don't work either. And in other places, he says, it's also the land. The land is not going to work either. See, if we rest, our rest affects everything around us. If we don't rest, our lack of rest affects everything around us. And, you know, it really does just come to everything that we touch. And as we read here, I don't have time to do this, but we're told to keep it holy. And I did a long dive into that. If you're taking notes, Nehemiah 13, there's a beautiful story where Nehemiah is like, we're closed, guys. We're closed for Sunday. For them, it was Saturday. But we're closed. And these guys kept coming and trying to trade. Why? Money, 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 money. And he finally is like, put some guards there. And he's like, he peers over the wall. He's like, if you try to get in here and trade on the Sabbath, we're going to attack you. Game on. And then the sun goes down. Like, he fiercely protected the Sabbath for his people. So the first thing I would just say, and just like last week, if you're not thankful, let's take a moment to repent. I would just say now, at the beginning of this, if you feel so far like we've talked a little bit about Sabbath and maybe we're like, oh man, I'm worse than Jeff, or maybe I'm almost as bad as Jeff. All I want is control, accomplishment, and addiction, and I take my phone to the toilet too. Man, poor me. Here's what I want to say. Swallow it. Swallow that the Sabbath was given, that you're living a life right now that is off the rails. And it's not that you and I are bad people. It's just that God has a better way for us. We are to be the people. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Busyness, activity, production, right? Is that it? No, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace. So I can look at my life and say, Lord, forgive me for... And so this is the first step here, is just if you find yourself in that place, then just repent. Do what I did. Lord, I really haven't valued rest at all, because I really value being in control or accomplishing things or feeling blah, blah, blah. And so if you feel that, just, you know, maybe you'll do it now as I'm talking. Just, Lord, boy, I'm sorry. I want to change. I want to be a person of peace. The next thing I learned is that in order to rest, you have to stop. Did you know that? It kind of seems silly. Like, Jeff, we know that. So you have to realize that resting is important, but then you got to do something about it. It takes work. You got to stop. Look at your screen time. It'll show you how much you're stopping. It'll show you how much you're not stopping and how many things you do when you're not stopping. I'm advocating for sitting under a tree looking at the sky, guys, a lot more. I think Christians need to do that. Ignatius was one of the things he said. I've been consuming his readings the last 5 years, and he says, I would just sit and I'd look at the sky for hours. You know, I was at the gym last week, actually, and the funniest thing happened. When I'm exercising, I'm trying to always thinking about the scriptures and the sermon and what's this and that. And this lady walked in. This is a completely true story. In like a pink business outfit with at least 3-inch high heels, hair all done up, all makeup to everything. And she was, my gym's a PT gym. It's just a bunch of people, like mostly over 50. And she had PT. So the physical therapist walked her to an exercise bicycle that works your shoulders. It's one of those things where you do your arms. And she comes in. And so I've seen this because I've been going there for almost 3 years. And a lot of folks come in to work out in like nice clothes. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to exercise and get anything from it, you probably need to maybe wear like some yoga pants or some sweats or like, you know what I'm saying, some Russell shorts. Is anyone with me? Like if you got 2 or 3 layers on and you start sweating, you're probably not going to want to go to your job because you're going to smell bad. Are we there? So I've seen so much of this, but it's just normal. I think people think like PT is just for fun. I'm going to do 20 minutes and go to my job. Like, no, you need to work those broken tendons or whatever. So I see this all the time, but I saw something new. She comes in, it's really interesting. It looked like something from like 1985. And it's like pink outfit, high heels, hair all done, makeup, which is all great. She gets on the thing and she's doing this bike, and it's a bike where you work your shoulders for like shoulder surgeries. And she's doing this, and then like the PT guy, he's like, 10 minutes on this and I'll be back. And she's like doing this, and he walks away, goes around the corner to get the next patient. And then she's like, and she's on her phone the whole time, doing only one arm. You got to do both. And I'm just thinking, like, you're not going to get better if you're like shortchanging the work to get better. You've got to really stop and give yourself to the thing. And I think, you know, we don't want to stop because we think, I've got to just carry on with my life. And if you're taking notes, write this down. A mentor told me this years ago when I was going through some really hard personal things. I was just pouring out all my struggles to him. And he said, Jeff, it's never completely fixed, and it's never going to be completely broken. That's your whole life. That's the rest of your life. It's never completely fixed. So quit trying, and it's never completely broken, so quit worrying. And I started thinking about my marriage, my health, my ministry, my finances, my relationship with my children, all the different things, and I realized that really was true. And I'll just tell you early, like, if you don't believe that, then you will one day. You will one day. And the sooner you start believing that, your life will get better. If you can begin living in peace and stop the levels of activity that cause you to think, oh, I just got to do that, you know? Does anyone know the guitarist Joe Satriani? I've been studying him lately, and I read an interview. He said, this is so brilliant. He talked about aging. He says this, you have to realize that we just pass through life. You can't hold on to anything. Chaos is just what happens. You have to accept that there will be conflict in your life all the time in whatever industry and art form that you embrace, and you have to totally be okay with that. Brilliant stuff. So for me, it took me a long time, and divorcing my identity from things and having to have the order, trusting God with things, stopping. And part of this stopping is some of us in this room, you need to stop doing so many things so you can do the things that really are important. Some of us right now, it's like if I asked you, like, the five most important things in your life, you'd probably rattle them off. And then if I said, okay, well, do you have time to do those things? You'd say, well, no, I don't. Why not? Well, because I got to catch up on season 5 of, you know, Battlestar Galactica or whatever your show is. And I'd say, well, what if, like, you died tomorrow? Like, which one's more important? You know, at some point, in order to rest, we have to stop. And we have to say, if I'm doing 20 things, maybe I should just be doing 10 things. So I can do the 10 things well instead of 20 things poorly. So in order to rest, we have to stop. Next, living rested means living from margin. Do you ever watch a bird in the sky? Birds, they do this, especially big birds. They're really interesting to watch. Big birds, not Big Bird like Sesame Street. He flashes on the screen. Please don't do that. It will distract. Birds, especially heavy birds, they jump, and it takes this massive amount of energy to get them going, flapping. But once they get that energy going, then they soar. So there's the flapping and the soar. Now, what are we called in Isaiah 40? We will mount up with wings as eagles. We will run and not grow faint and weary. We will run like the youth, it says. And so I believe that, like, if your life is always flapping, we're not living the way that we're supposed to. And the reason, perhaps, is that we have no margin in our lives. If you're always flapping, if you're always tired, if you can't answer messages and important things, It's because we're constantly flapping and we're not soaring. And we are people of God are to be people who soar. So setting boundaries, creating margin, having some extra space in our lives so that we can actually do the things we want to do. There's an exercise that Richard Branson, who's like a billionaire, and his wife just passed away, his wife of like 50 years, very sad, 40 or 50 years, just this week. I was reading an interview from him, and he said, you want to live the life you want to live? Here's what you got to do. And he said, take a piece of paper and draw three lines so you have four columns, all right? Column number one is things you love doing, and then write all the things you love doing. Column number two is things you hate doing. Write all the things down. Column number three is things you're good at. Write them all down. Column number four is things you're very bad at. You write them all down. Okay? So column one is things you love. Column two is things you hate. Column three is things you're good at. And column four is things you're not good at. And he says, if you'll spend your life doing one and three, you're going to have a good, productive life. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have to do laundry, shave, change your oil, pay your taxes. Okay, those are probably in two and four. So some of that life stuff we just have to do, okay? I'm not saying not to do those things. But figure out what you're about, guys, and give your energy to that instead of what this tells you to be about. See, this is telling us right now. Did you know right now, unless you have it turned off, my actually son actually works for the government. He was home this last couple days, and we had the best time. And he's making, just doing crazy well, writing defense software. And at one point, I was like, well, my phone can't hear us. He's like, they can hear you. They can hear you. They can hear you. You think you turn Siri off and it can't hear you? Why am I saying all this? Right now, the world, the tech world around you, the AI world around you, the government, the Victoria's Secret and Sears and Belkin, everywhere that wants your money and attention, it is all scheming. And it's not even people doing it anymore. It's a machine doing it. It's an artificial machine scheming to put ads in front of you, to distract you, to steal your life. And in 10 years, you may not have anything to show for it because you've and I have lived the way this thing has told us to live. It's just the reality. So we want to figure out what we're about and then create margin. It's sort of like, let's say your refrigerator breaks, right? And you go to the bank. You need $2,000 for a new fridge, right? They're really expensive now, maybe $1,000 if you get a cheapo. And if you don't have any margin in your finances, you don't get a new fridge, right? So we need margin in our lives from which we can draw and we can live our lives in a healthy way. Your body is the same way. Our soul is the same way. And so part of the Sabbath idea is that like the seasons, like the sun rising and setting, we have a weekly stop. We have a lifestyle of stop. And some of us right now are thinking, well, I just can't have any margin in my life. And I would just say, well, then you're doing too many things. If you can't have any margin, you're just doing too much. You're just doing too many things. And I would just say some kind words to you right now. It's time to get over yourself and do less with your life. Get over being so important that you're so busy. I wonder if pride, it was in my case, and it is, I'm not over this by any means. I wonder if pride is the reason I'm so busy, because I'm just so important and I just have so many things I can do. I wrote this down, I'm going to read it to you. I know what busy is. I raised four kids, one of which had many medical complexities. My busy life is a poor excuse to never rest. If we would get honest, we'd realize it's really about ourselves, our addiction to being busy, accomplishing things, and feeling valid because we do a lot, and being needed by many people because that keeps us busy all the time, always answering the phone, responding to every Facebook or Twitter argument. One person has control of those things, and it is me. And I just want to give you permission as your pastor this morning. This is a different message. I always do exposition, go through a chunk of scripture. Today's a little different. I just want to give you permission as your pastor. My job is to lead you to a green field. And I'm leading you this morning to a green field. And I'm giving you permission, guys, not to wander. The field is Jesus. He is the field from which, if we eat and dine, we will be restful people. We will be whole. We will become healed. We will walk without shame. And I'm giving you permission this morning on the journey to the field that is Jesus. Don't wander. There's a lot of other pastures that want your attention. And this is all about saying, Jesus, we're focusing and we're giving ourselves to you. And we're not going to be distracted by all these other things. And to do that, we have to create margins. So some of us in the room, we might just need to stop doing so many things. And the ending, last thing I want to say is that Sabbath is really about relationship with Jesus. This is my favorite part of this. Hebrews explains the Sabbath to us. Hebrews in the New Testament. Where are you, Hebrews? Hebrews is hiding from me. There you are. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. It says, there remains therefore for a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's you and I. For the one who's entered into this rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. What it's saying there to us is that the whole point of the Old Testament Sabbath was to show us that we could not save ourselves. We could not work enough. He tells us, and there's other places too, but the New Testament says that the Sabbath, the point of the Sabbath was to show us that we have to rest in God's love. We cannot work our way and live a life of attainment that works ourselves to God. So stopping is an acknowledgement of that. It's an acknowledgement of the central Christian message, which I'm going to share with you again today, now, shortly, that you and I are sinners, hopeless beyond all help. We have gotten ourselves in a very, very bad situation. If you want proof of that, look at the world, look at the news, maybe look at the things that you and I have broken in our own lives, the way we've hurt ourselves and we've hurt others. And because we are sinners and because God is holy and perfect and amazing, the bridge between us, the gap between us is too big for us to cross. We can't work our way back to God. We cannot work our way back to God. And God knows that. So he says, I am going to provide a way for you that has nothing to do with you. It's not about how ugly or bad you are. It's not about how beautiful or rich or moral you are. In fact, it has nothing to do with you. It can only have something to do with one who is perfect, who can take the place of our punishment, our sin, our judgment for our sin. And so the Bible prophesies the coming Savior that we're going to be welcoming again this Christmas in our celebrations, born as a little baby, prophesied in the Old Testament. And he says that this one is coming to do that which you could not do, to pay the price for your sin, and that all that receive him as their Lord and Savior will be brought into the rest of God apart from their own doing. And so when we're told to rest, Sabbath is a picture of that rest. And guys, it's always about receiving. We don't initiate with God. We respond to God. We're always responding to God. We're not initiating. I was having coffee this week with a church member, and you know, we were talking about these things, and he said, "We just need to be in God's presence." And I was like, "Yeah, that's it. We just need to be. We need to rest in it." And I shared a story a few weeks ago, and I felt like sharing it again, just because it's on my heart. I think because I'm getting older, but I think it points this out very well. And that story is when my young daughter was born. And have any of y'all ever had a colic kid? Colicky kid? Here's what they are. They scream all the time. Unless you're uncomfortable, they're not screaming. If you're comfortable, they're going to scream. If you're uncomfortable, if you're finding ways to try. But we had this situation, and it's neat because my mom told me, she's like, you screamed for the first 2 years of your life. You came out screaming, and you screamed, and you screamed. She does an impression of me. It's like this. I have coffee with my mom every Saturday, so we talk about this sometimes. And just as a joke, she's not bitter or anything. She's like, for a year and a half, I didn't sleep. You just screamed. Why did you do that? I don't know, Mom. Like, I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't, like, cognizant. The first memory I have was, like, age 3. So I don't know. But she said, well, you've just turned out so sweet. So maybe, like, the heart had to come before the reward. And I thought, well, that's real sweet. And that's how my daughter is. In fact, the two of my kids that were real colicky are probably the two kindest and sweetest. And so, but Abby would cry and cry and cry, and my middle son, Levi, would do this too. And I came up with this thing, as I shared a few weeks ago. It was right around the time the Lord of the Rings movies were popular. And they had all those scenes where the dwarves were going through the mines of Moria, and they were singing their songs, and it always sounded like this. Om, om, om. Remember all that? So I would hold her close to my chest, and this is at like 2:25 a.m., like every night, and I would just carry her around, and I would try everything. I mean, you have all these things, you know, you try, and they didn't work, but when I put her in my chest, and I would just hold her tight in my chest, and then I would walk around, I was so silly, just all night long, and I would have this deep bass, and I think her feeling, the little baby, you know, feeling it through my body going into hers, it just, can you imagine if just a bass speaker was just pumping your body full of that frequency? And it worked. So, so as long as I would walk around doing that, she'd be quiet. And then I would like stop and try to put her in the crib. And I have to pick her back up. And, you know, it was precious. And, but I think that's how it is with the Father. I think that we will rest when we are close to Him. See, when you're close to the Lord, you know everything's going to be okay. Because until you die, it's not all going to be okay, guys. Again, I said that earlier. It's just the truth. It's not all going to be. They're going to have moments. But what I've learned in my life is it's in the moments that I'm close to Jesus that I experience the peace that passes understanding. And that's how we can access it. So as the Father holds us and we experience His voice and we experience His warmth and His embrace, that's the times that we realize everything is going to be okay. And that's something that's offered to us right now. In whatever you're going through right now, you are offered right now. You don't have to do anything to get it. You don't have to take Ambien. You don't have to go on a vacation or a sabbatical. Right now, everyone in this room, every human on this planet is offered what Jesus offers to us. And I'll quote it again in Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I am humble and gentle of heart. Take my yoke upon you, and I will teach you, and I will give you rest. And that's the promise to us, the people of God, as we draw near to Him. So, do you want that? I do, especially the next 3 weeks, right? It's going to be crazy. Is it crazy for you? It might be. Let's all stand. Boom, boom, boom. Some of you guys are going to go home and try that. It didn't work. Look, I put the work in for my kids. You got to figure your own thing out. But maybe that will work for you. All right, let's pray here. We have a few moments, and we'll go off into this day. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come afresh. We wait on you, Lord. Come and bring your peace that passes understanding and draw us into your Sabbath rest. It's the rest in Jesus, in the love of God for us. where everything is okay. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Thank you, Father. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. Come pour your peace over your people this morning. Father, we surrender our plan to you this morning again. Some of us right now, as we're praying, I just feel like the Lord is highlighting that we've had a plan, but it wasn't the Lord's plan. It was a plan we decided on. And this is a time when we can just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you that plan, and I want your plan instead. Thank you, Father. I'd like to invite you to come forward and get prayer if you're in this group. I think there's some of us this morning that the Lord is inviting you. There's something that we're carrying that we're not supposed to be carrying. And this is a morning where we can come forward with open hands and say, Lord, I'm going to just dump this at the altar and not pick it back up. So there's some of us this morning that you're carrying something right now that is just awfully heavy and hard for you, and you shouldn't be carrying it. Some of us, you're carrying things you need to carry that are heavy. But there's some of us this morning that we're carrying things that we're not supposed to be carrying. And the Lord's freedom, you don't have to work to get rid of that. All you have to do is just say, I surrender this to you. So if that's you, come on down here, and we want to pray for you.
During the sermon, I had like an image of a woodworker or some sort of craft or something where they were using glue and they got fiddling with something and it kept falling apart because the glue was still wet. And just that sense of patience, let the glue dry, do the thing, and then wait.
Good word. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, patience. Some of us, if you want patience this morning, come on up here. The Bible says that we receive the Spirit through the laying on of hands. And it says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. So if you need more patience, you can just ask the Lord, Lord, I need patience. I can't be patient. Help me supernaturally to be patient.
Sabbath is something that is a lot harder to do on our own. That's something that we as a church can help each other with, because many hands make light work, and we need each other to bear the load, to help bear the load. And there may be seasons where Sabbath is just so hard that your lifeline is the words from someone who is in a season of Sabbath, someone who can help ground you because they are spending more time with the Lord than you are right now, and you can lean on those people when it's just really hard to rest and have your own time like that.
Amen. We need about 10 or 12 folks to come forward and begin praying for these people who are up here, so come on up. I feel like there's some parents in the room that there's some dissonance right now with your kids, and I feel like the Lord is just wants to break that. If there's shame, if there's anger that's been expressed that's unresolved, just like the Lord this morning just wants to wipe that slate completely clean between you and your kids. So God, in Jesus' name, we just say, may unity happen. We confess anger, fighting, yelling, hurting each other. Those of us who are parents who've hurt our kids, and we just say, forgive us and restore what was lost. I'm going to let you guys pray up here and dismiss the rest of us to go our way. You guys take your time. Father, we bless you and we ask you to give us a day of peace supernaturally. Thank you for all that you're doing in us and in this church. We say that you are worthy of all of it, and we bless your name and love you. We go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, have a great Sunday. If you're getting prayer, please linger as long as you need. And if you're new, I'd love to meet you in the foyer in a little bit. Hope you have a great Sunday. Bless you.